So let's get into this. The message, part two of the series, Honors Reward by John Bevere. We're already in part four on Wednesdays, but this is our part two on Sundays for those of you that haven't connected. I try to give a different slant. You're going to hear things today that you don't hear on Wednesdays, and you hear things on Wednesdays that you don't hear. So if you want the whole thing, then you need to come on Wednesdays too. It's been getting rich. Anybody comes on Wednesday, how has it been? It's been powerful, hasn't it? You need to get out here on Wednesdays, get that midweek refuel, you know, for what God is doing. Hallelujah. And so I'm titling it, Honoring Civil and Social Leaders. So we talked last week, he's a rewarder, you know. Hallelujah. And so what else? We talked about honoring leaders of all kinds, especially our the people that are above us, that God has put it over us. There's four kinds of leaders, right? There's the civil leaders, social leaders, domestic leaders, those are your parents. And of course, and then there is, which one am I missing? Civil. Oh, and spiritual leaders, that be us, that be us. Yes, I can't believe I'm missing that. All right, hello. So before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about toxic leadership. Anybody have a toxic leader? Don't say amen, just say, Hopefully it wasn't your parents, you know, but these are people that step over people. They have favorites. They don't quickly apply justice. They pit one person against another. Now, anybody seen that before? Or pit at one group against another? We see it at the national level, this toxic leadership. It spans all levels. They could be junior leaders or it could be world leaders and everything in between. And unfortunately, we have to deal with them, but in some way, fortunately, because God has a purpose in it. Maybe you are the toxic leader, and maybe this will bless you as well, that you need to change some of your ways. But I want to lay a foundation by saying that no one can keep you. Listen, no one can keep you from God's purpose for your life except for you. It's not about the harsh leader. It's not about the toxic leader. As pastor would say, you cannot keep a good man down, right? The cream just rises to the top. You cannot keep a good woman down. What does the Bible teach us? Joseph could not be kept from becoming second in command, despite the accusations of his brothers or Potiphar's wife or being sent to prison. He was wrongly accused, but God was preparing him to rule. He was preparing him to rule. He's the only one that could have aborted the process. The pit you're in, the toxic leader you're around has been strategically allowed in your life for the development of your character and your ability to rule. Remember, leadership is an eternal endeavor. We're going to come back with Jesus in a 1,000-year reign. Hallelujah. And who knows what happens beyond that? Only God knows. That's a mystery. But we're going to rule. So if you're not getting, you better get your lessons in now. By then, it might be too late. It says, well, you were faithful with very little, so I guess I'll just put you over. You know, something very tiny. Go rule over that cabin. But you were very faithful. You're over this whole nation. Right? That's what the Bible teaches. You're faithful to the little things. He puts you over more and more and more. So God is developing your ability to lead, but he has to take you through pits, and sometimes it includes toxic leadership. Remember that God made you in his image. He made you to rule. Hallelujah. Also, think about David. David could not be kept from the throne of Israel by Saul. The only one that could have kept David from the throne was David himself. Saul tried to kill him. You know, for 15 years he was chased all around the countryside. You know, he was in the Philistine camp. You know, all these things that happened, but no one could keep him there. I keep him away from the throne except for himself. Because one God has his eyes set on you, you just need to say, I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing, Lord. Look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. You're a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Yeah, this is for Israel, but this is for us prophetically. The Lord did not set his love on you, listen, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. He didn't choose Israel because, like, man, what an amazing nation. Just the best of the bunch. No. The Bible says he will have mercy on whom he will. We just sang about that, you know, in that song, You Are My Champion. I don't know why you chose me. And took me to when I was a child. I don't know why there was a man that went to our door and said, hey, I'd like to share the gospel with you. You know, my parents let him in. God had been doing some things. And first my mom was saved. 5 years later, my dad was saved. And I got saved. And now, look at us now. Why? Why? There's so many people out there that have not heard the gospel. Why did God choose me? I don't know. But I thank God. I thank God for that opportunity. It says, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out of it with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from every pit, from every toxic leader, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Job 42, verses 1 and 2. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. Another version says, no one can thwart you, your plans. God will glory himself through you, but that, to what extent is up to you. You want full reward or just want a little bit of reward? You want, for you got to be God's best trophy and say, man, come in, my faithful servant. Come on, like a Paul. Come in. You've done everything I've asked you and more. You went beyond what I expected for you. Oh, you know what we're singing that? Nothing else. People that love to be in his presence. I used to think that being a doer could replace being in his presence. But the more I do, I've realized nothing replaces God's presence. When I'm like, oh God, how can I, be a pastor to this church? And I go into his presence and then I feel the weight just come off my shoulders. And it's just me and my Abba. Hallelujah. And then I say, and I don't want to leave. And I don't want to leave, God. Hallelujah. So point number one for today is we honor leaders even when they are toxic. We honor leaders even when they're toxic. And this is a sin issue when we don't. It's a matter of the heart. But it's also compounded by the fact that there's a huge cultural shift that's been happening in our nation and all over the world where we just don't honor leaders. We speak ill of leaders. Our youngest generations today, they have high expectations. They have a sense of entitlement. They're bred by the culture. They're fed by the media. They say we fancy ourselves as woke, right? Oh, the word woke. The dictionary actually defines it, woke, as being alert to injustice in society. I'm so alert. I can see it. I can smell it. I have a sixth sense for injustice, especially racism. So we fancy ourselves defenders of justice and of the defendless, but we completely forget that God is sovereign and that God uses even injustices to carry out his purposes. Did not Jesus suffer injustice? He told Pilate, you have power over me, but you wouldn't have it if it wasn't because the Father gave it to you. You were created to be a Roman so you would rule over Israel one day so we could have come to this moment. And God is doing a work through this injustice. That's what Jesus has said. He was led to the slaughter like a little lamb. Didn't say anything. He didn't argue. He didn't fight it. Because there's a purpose. All the way to Golgotha. Amen. Did not Moses and the people of God suffer injustices in Egypt, but God delivered them mightily. And it says that they walked away with the riches of Egypt. They plundered them on the way out. Hallelujah. There is a reward. But let me tell you, wokeness has been there since the beginning. It's not a new thing. It was there since the Garden of Eden. Satan enticed Eve and Adam by saying, ooh, God is being unfair to you. You can be more woke. You can be more woke if you take of this fruit. Come on. You'll be like him. And so a lot of people think that they bite into this fruit of wokeness, and all of a sudden they're smarter than everybody else and they can see everything better than everybody else. God is the defender of the defenseless. He loves, the orphans and the widows and the people that can't fend for themselves and speak for themselves more than you. He cares more about them. You begin to cry out, fight more from your knees than with all this posts on social media. It does nothing. What has all that done? It just angers people. There's a spirit of offense across our nation. It's up to me to remove the toxic leader, and I'll speak ill of him, and I'll call him all kinds of things. You judge their motives, even though we're not supposed to judge people's motives. And the scripture teaches that people, even when they were unjust, the people under them, they refer to them with honor. Almost excellent Felix, when he was being tried, that's the way Paul referred to him. If it pleases the king, said Esther, with a lot of honor and respect. I'm trying to tell you something that is going to set many of you free by submitting. It's a paradox. right? Wait a second. I submit myself and I become freer. Some people think that if they come freer, you know, there'll be more work, but really they end up in more bondage and anger and frustration. Some people do very little praying and a lot of talking. Your opinions are being posted everywhere. We need to repent, people. That's why we had a day of prayer of repentance. We want God to move. Start with humility. You know, the Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. It says, humble yourself in the mighty hand and kind of God, and He will lift you up. We need to submit ourselves even to toxic leaders because there's blessing. 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, be submissive to your masters, this is with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Come on. Some of you have been bucking your supervisors and the officers above you, calling them all kinds of things to your peers. It's time to refrain from that. When some starts to leave your mouth, they go, oh, the fear of the Lord just came upon me. I cannot speak about that because I'm offending the Most High God. It's not about what they may deserve it, but you know what? God calls us to submit. We need to do it. The word for harsh is skolios. It's the Greek word skolios, which means crooked, perverse, wicked, or unfair. It's the word where we get the word scoliosis, right? A crooked back. Once again, you must do what He tells you to do, but also with a good attitude. It has to begin in the heart, even if it's toxic or harsh, because if you do, you have great reward in heaven. There are three benefits from honoring these leaders. First, if we're treated unfairly, it puts the case in God's hands. It's like, you remove yourself. I was passed up for the promotion, they give it to the guy, I'm going to honor my new supervisor. He was my peer, he was hired after I was. You know, I've done all these big projects and he just came in and became my supervisor. You think that's unfair? But you say, I'm going to bless this person. There's great reward when you do that. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. Or you follow His steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled means like it's a very harsh and abusive type of speech against the leader, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten. It says, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. When I do what the Father tells me, honor my leader, I'm committing myself to God. And God says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do with that leader and with you. And God's going to promote you in due season. It may not come directly from that leader, but God has a way. He may take you somewhere else, but you will be rewarded in due time. You just need to know that that's God's heart, is to bless you. The second reason is when we return honor, when treated unfairly, we inherit blessing. That's part of the role. 1 Peter 3:9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you inherit a blessing. You can put for blessing in parentheses, reward. Reward. The third reason we're commanded to submit to harsh authorities is because in trusting God, rather than vindicating ourselves, godly character is built within us. Godly character. Hallelujah. We are more like Christ when you do that, because you're seeing His designs. You're not thinking at this level. You have kingdom level thinking. Everybody say kingdom level thinking. Kingdom level thinking. And there's a difference between submission and obedience. They're both needed. Like it says in Isaiah 1:18, it says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat of the fruit of the land. Submission deals with our attitude. Obedience deals with the actions. And the only time to go against authority is when they tell you to do something that directly goes against the Word of God. If they tell you to steal, if they tell you to lie, if they tell you to cheat, if they tell you to abuse, you know, anything that goes directly against the Word of God, then we can stand up against that. Point number two, we must also honor our civil leaders. We're talking about rulers, kings, you know, the president, governors, cabinet members, Congress, whether it's federal and state, mayors, city councils. They are God's servants. they are God's. They may be the harshest, most toxic. They may do things that you don't like, but they're still appointed by God. And we gain favor. We gain favor when they're honored. Ultimately, we want is for them to be won to the Lord. The Bible says that Paul said this, I will do all things and I will become all things to all people that I may win some to the Lord. Even if I have to be submitted to harsh treatment. Even if they have selfish ambition. They're passing laws maybe so they can buy some land over there and build their own little kingdom. You may be seeing it, you know, but you still honor them. You still pray for them. You still submit to them in whatever they tell you to do. Romans 13, verse 7, listen to this. And I'm giving you not my opinions. This is from Scripture. Romans 13, 7, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. If they expect certain treatment and courtesies, give it to them. If it's the Queen of England, you treat her like the Queen of England. If it's the President of the United States, you treat him like the President of the United States. If it's the Mayor of Sierra Vista, you treat him like the Mayor of Sierra Vista is supposed to. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. 1 Timothy 3:7, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. We're doing this so that we may gain favor, so that we may plunder the city, so to speak, of souls. Hallelujah. We want the doors of the city hall to be open to us. We want the doors of the mayor's office to be open to us. Hallelujah. We must gain favor. We've been blessing the hospitals. We've been blessing the police department. You know, we love them right where they want to be loved. We dropped off some donuts at the police station. Okay, nobody got that. Is that just that? Hallelujah. Anyway, so be careful what we say of our leaders. Acts 23:5, then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Paul spoke up against the high priest. He didn't know it was the high priest. Because the high priest said to somebody, hit him in the mouth. He's a blasphemer. And he said, who are you, whitewashed wall? And he said, ooh, that's the high priest you're talking about. It's like, that's the president. Oh, that's the mayor. Ooh, that's the senator. Oh, that's the... And you're in those conversations in the hallways of your jobs. You need to have the fear of the Lord. That word just went out of my mouth. I just spoke ill. Go and repent quickly that you may receive your reward. Walk away from the situations. Be honorable at all times. If the church is not perceived by our leaders as those who walk in the love and compassion of Jesus and the true honor for their positions of authority, they will not listen to us. We must speak truth and it must be in the love and reverent fear of the Lord. We want to gain favor and have an excellent reputation in the city, like I said, to win many to the Lord. And I go to my last point, point number three. We honor social leaders. We honor social leaders. Hallelujah. That would include our employers, our bosses, our teachers, our coaches, and so forth. They've been appointed by God for you. God is working something out. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. I'm telling you, you need to just start blessing your bosses. You know, every time I start getting offended, God said, begin to pray for that person. And all of a sudden, God gives me a heart of compassion and love for them. You can't stay mad at somebody you constantly pray for. You try it. You're offended by somebody, go and give them a gift. I'm telling you. All of a sudden, you begin to feel love for them. I'm investing in them. How am I going to tear them down now? I'm investing in their life. You try that. Right now, think of somebody who's been making life difficult for you and just think of a strategy. How am I going to bless them this week? They're going to be like, what is this all about? You want something. Yeah, I want your soul. I want you to be saved. Yeah. I want you. This is good, people. I don't know. This is somebody free. There's going to be a culture of honor in this house. And we've had it, but we got to retain it and we got to grow it. Feel the Spirit of God. And even just saying that. 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many as are servants under their yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and the doctrine be not blasphemed. Oh, we don't want people to speak ill. Oh, the church, bunch of hypocrites. And it's happening. You know, we're trying our hardest, but there's a few rotten apples. And sometimes we have done it too. They're making it bad for us. Right? It's like the televangelist. It's like televangelist becomes a synonym with like hypocrite. Instead of saying somebody is spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. Oh, televangelists. They just want money and they sleep with people they're not supposed to be sleeping with. That cannot be. We don't want the doctrine, but it's going to increase people. The Bible says in Matthew 24, Jesus said, what will the end times look like? It says, the love of many will grow cold, and it says many will become offended. People are offended. And I'm telling you, when the seals of the end times are opened, that you're in Revelation, and demons are released into the world, people are going to act like, whoa, where did that come from? They're going to be the nasty. You think it's nasty now? People throwing fits in their cars and yelling obscenities, and that's nothing. It says that children will betray their parents. Parents will betray their children. Being led by spirits of deception. It's going to happen, but we need to have a culture of honor. You know, Mordecai honored Ahasuerus, you know, the husband of Esther. And he says, hey, there's a plot to kill you. He would have said, we're Jews, we're just subject to this king. I don't care if he dies. No, he said, hey, this is the king, let's honor him. And he told the guards, go tell him that somebody's trying to kill him. Is this too, you know, eunuchs over here? And it says that later on he received a great reward. The one that Haman thought he was going to get, it says later on Mordecai was paraded, hallelujah, all around the city. I am telling you, God has a way of rewarding us. If we honor our leaders, it doesn't matter. You know, and we don't hear about all the nastiness of these kings like Nebuchadnezzar. He was ruthless. Darius, ruthless. Cyrus, ruthless. Ahasuerus, ruthless. We think, oh, maybe they were kind of nice guys, you know. If we find him in the movies, oh, he's a good-looking guy. He's muscular and, you know. He looks like he was very romantic, you know. Like the movie, you know, what was it called? To Please the King or something like that. Yeah, it's like, man, he was like a model. Is that Ahasuerus? I want to be like him. Yeah. Hallelujah. What have we done in America? We've removed God from schools, the Ten Commandments from courtrooms. Entertainment is offensive and atheistic. We're painted as narrow-minded, as fundamentalists, you know, the deplorables. I don't know what we are. It is possible we added to society's godless behavior by our lack of honor. We've helped with that. So young people, your teachers, honor them. Not just when they're in front of you. You do them. Because God can see you everywhere. Your coaches, your parents. Speak honorably of your parents. Oh, the old man. He's of the rocker. He's crazy. He's antiquated. Don't you do that. You're reaping on yourself, you know, God's, you know, lack of honor or reward or worse. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Honor your teachers. Honor your coaches. We should be the most trusted employee that they have. We should be the most attentive and honoring students that they have. We should be the most disciplined athletes that our coaches have. You may not be the most talented, but like Rudy, man, you're there. You know, we're going to try the hardest. We're going to be at every meeting. We're going to get there on time. We're going to leave late. And we honor our coaches. If so, God will reward you sooner or later. Let's stand. So we spoke today, points number 1, 2, and 3. 1 is we honor leaders even when they're toxic. We honor civil leaders as our governmental leaders. And we honor our social leaders from the heart. For there's great reward in heaven. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. I want you to get this in your spirit because I think... somebody needs to come to the Lord this morning. You need to honor God above all people. It says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. It says, fear only God. Another way to say it, honor only God, or honor God above all, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We need to have kingdom level thinking. Let God renew your mind with these teachings. But it begins with holy fear of God. Some people think that holy fear, oh, you know, that's a mistranslation. No. God is so holy. When you're in the presence of God, it just makes you drop to your knees. God, you're so holy. You're so holy. Forgive me. We should be afraid of being too casual with God. He's a loving God, but He's a holy God. If it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross, we would have no chance. It's time for the church to live in holy fear of God, putting God above all things, care more about what God thinks than anybody else. Trying to be popular with the world makes us unpopular with God. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he wins the whole world, yet they forfeit their soul? It must start right here in the church of God. It must be people that are honorable. It must have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. Kingdom level thinking. Let God renew your mind. Begin to act differently. Honor your leaders. Honor your peers. Honor those people, you know, that God has given you. See them as a gift, as an opportunity. Your children. Next week, we're going to talk about honoring spiritual leaders. But it begins with the holy fear of God. And it first manifests itself. It first shows up by a true repentance. I think there's an anointing in the house today, like it was in that day when Peter came out of the upper room and said, you guys are drunk. They were speaking in tongues. And he said, no, we're not drunk. It's only the morning hour. We're just seeing what God promised. That in the last days, the Holy Spirit will pour out upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah, it's happening, people. And then he says, we're here because of Jesus, the one that you guys crucified. Maybe you should have said the ones that we crucified. But then it says this, that they were cut through the heart. They were cut through the heart. Holy fear of God came upon them that day. And they said, brethren, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? That's what the fear of God will do to you. We can't be casual with God. It's time for the holy fear of God to return to the house of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to abhor evil, to hate what is evil, and to love what is good, to love what is God. And I believe there's some people that have been living loosely. But even as I speak, your heart is being cut. There's a burning inside of you. I need to return with my whole heart. Don't just give Him the leftovers of your life. Give Him the best part of you. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God.